It's Tom and Dolly on Triple M. Tom reckons he's a good swimmer.
For my 11-year-old, he does that as a warm-up.
The other fancies himself as a DJ. What they can do is ask questions.
Jeff, your latest fart in a film or movie title?
About 10 minutes ago, mate, it was The Fast and the Furious.
You know someone with more than 42 cats?
Yeah, my auntie.
198 Balinese cats.
It's been described as juvenile talkback.
What's your ridiculous dare?
He had a few loose scabs on top of his head, so he gave one of the boys to whip the scab off and eat it.
Oh.
It was a tasty skin biscuit that had to be out.
So sit back. But don't relax. This is Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Bloody excited to be here on a Tuesday night, taking you right through to 10. Of course, Naughty After 9 will be happening after 9 o'clock. You need to stick around in your car till after then.
Hopefully you've got a two-hour drive ahead of you.
Oh, absolutely. Just drive around town until 9 o'clock,
although,
I reckon.
Tom, there are radios in houses, so you can get into your house and then turn that on. That's an easy way to do it.
If you're listening to this at home, what are you doing?
But, Tom, to get specific, yeah, we love any kind of listener.
Yeah, right.
If you get specific here, 9 o'clock, are you or have you been with a sugar mummy or a sugar daddy?
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Not
what
sure
a
what
dream.
That all will result in, but it should be interesting.
What an absolute dream. Up next, Dolly, you know, there's this whole thing about Dry July happening. My mates are doing it, you know. Give up alcohol for the month of July.
Yeah, difficult.
How about those people that possibly haven't been successful in Dry July? You know what? Give us a call now. 133353. Have you failed Dry July already?
Already. Well, what are we at? We're at the 11th, 12th?
Yeah, 12th.
Yeah, it's 11th.
11th, yep.
So if you've lasted a week and a half or even less, I mean, you're a failure. But give us a call, 133353, if you haven't lasted until this far in Dry July.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. Pure Massacre, Silverchair from 1995 off their album Rog Stomp. Frog Stomp. I'd already crossed out where the F was.
Check out Rog Stomp. It was a classic album.
It is Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions, and sometimes we're described as juvenile talkback. Look, tonight, to start the show off...
Amateur talkback sometimes, Tom.
Amateur? What?
Yeah, sometimes, when you get the name of the album wrong.
133353 is our number. You make this show. I want to know tonight, have you already failed Dry July? Now, Dry July, of course, started out raising money for cancer patients and their families and carers. And you go alcohol-free for a whole month. The whole month of July, you're going alcohol-free. My mates Charlie and Kent are doing it. They're they're booze hounds. So they're doing well, though. They're lasting.
Have you seen them during the month? How are they going? Are they getting the shakes or are they
bored
with their lives?
No, totally fine. They're watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race and just loving it out on the couch, loving it sick.
A lot of Netflix and chilling.
Absolutely, absolutely. So they haven't failed Dry July, but I love that idea of someone just failing.
Giving it a crack with the best of intentions. And then your friend's going, how's it going? And you have to go... Yeah, look, I'm joining you tonight for a drink because I've failed.
If you have failed Dry July, 133353 is the number. We've got questions for you. Doug, have you already failed, buddy?
Yeah, I did fail pretty bad.
Mate, when did you fall off? We're at the 11th now.
Oh, I only realised it was Dry July today.
Oh, so you had the intention of doing Dry July, but just it slipped past you.
Yeah, well, I had... in the morning, I had good intentions.
Yeah.
And then on the way home from work, I lost it, I guess.
Okay.
Sounds like you definitely need a Dry July,
definitely
Doug.
Lost it. I'm not going to explore too far there, Doug. Sounds a bit strange.
But Amy?
Maybe Amy's done better or worse. Amy, how long did you last in Dry July?
I epically failed.
Oh, no.
I was moving this week and I was driving down the highway and I said to my partner, hey, we should do Dry July.
Yeah,
next minute, the big billboard flashed up and it's like, Dry July. We're on the 2nd of July, not the 1st, and we're driving down the highway having a can. So, epically failed.
Oh,
I thought it was there, though.
Definitely can't endorse driving down the highway with a can.
No, definitely
well,
not.
I wasn't driving.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's still illegal to have open alcohol in the car, but moving that aside, so Amy, have you gone from the 2nd?
Absolutely, every day since.
Drinking or not drinking?
Drinking, of course.
Yeah, I didn't think she was actually doing it, Tom. Good try, Emmy.
I did try, though. So, you know, the thought was there.
Yeah, no, you tried. That's the main thing.
A lot of people just wanting to try Dry July, but then going, oh, God.
There should be a whole separate campaign that's called Try Dry July, where it's just about trying. And no matter how far you get, it's still like, you know what? Well done.
Dry July from the second as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can start on the second if you want. It's not going to change anything.
Second chance, you could call it.
No, good call.
Hey, cool. Christy, did you fail Dry July pretty emphatically?
Yep. Very, very. 1st of July, our school holiday started.
Yeah, and you're a mum at home with kids, are you?
I am a mum at home with kids, two boys. So, yeah, looked at that bottle of wine and went, yep, sorry, out the window. I'll just donate some money instead.
Yeah. What time of day was it, Christy?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say.
No, give us the time, Christy.
Oh, I think it was 12 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, great. And maybe in Australia, on the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, well, I do live in the Hunter Valley, so we do have the best wine.
Oh, a couple of shardies.
Well, I mean, your kids can't blame you if you're drunk during the day because you live in the Hunter Valley.
No. There's a few waters in between. It's
okay.
All good.
Yeah.
And it was all at home, so no driving.
Christy, did you
the justification?
Did you have to tell friends about this?
Oh yeah, we had a bit of a Facebook group going, and the girls were like, "Let's do Dry July together because we're all turning the big 4-0 this year." And we said, "Let's do it, let's start." And then the girls were like, "Yep, how are we all going?" And I went, "Yep, it's gone. It's school holidays. Sorry, girls, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'll just donate some money."
Did they shame you, or are they supportive?
Oh, no, they supported. A couple of them all went down pretty well.
Yeah.
School holidays. We're all the same.
Yeah.
We're going to try maybe November, October.
October, I think, is the next one.
October, yeah.
And if that fails, then Febfast, Christy.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I love that you need to have a naming month, like a pun-named month, to actually go a month without alcohol.
It wouldn't catch on otherwise.
Well, to those 18,873 people going dry this July and raising over $2 million for cancer research, well done to you. And, of course,
responsibly. We raise a glass to you. Well done.
Drink responsibly.
Up next on 133353, you can get involved. Neighbours from Hell.
Oh.
If you've had a neighbour from Hell, give us a buzz.
133353. The new one from Bernard Fanning now. It's called Isn't It a Pity? It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. New Bernard Fanning on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. Isn't It a Pity? That one's called in around about 15 minutes or so, maybe a bit longer. Were the 60s boring? Jeez, that's a contentious one, Ollie.
Yeah.
Were the 60s boring?
I've got a substantive, evidence-based claim that it was boring. I heard a song. And I just think it justifies the claim that it's boring, but we'll clarify it.
However, we ask questions on 133353.
Here's a question for you. Neighbours from Hell.
Oh, damn.
Not a question. So you shouldn't have said that, Tom. But, I mean,
do you have a neighbour from Hell?
Basically, that's it. Or Neighbours from Hell, discuss.
Aren't you an English teacher? Couldn't you have put that into a question pretty easily?
I could have, but I wanted to say you do it. And well done. You passed the test.
Thanks, buddy.
I moved into a new apartment with my girlfriend, Sarah. She actually bought it. I'm just her tenant.
Yep.
Pay her rent, which is interesting. But fair enough. She bought it. So the issue is we have we're apartment number two. And number one, I met them on day of moving in, so last week. But they're like, oh, hey, but nice to meet you, but we're moving out in 2 days. So yesterday I saw the new guys moving in.
Oh yeah.
Now, Neighbours from Hell sounds terrible. I'm not jumping the gun here. They're not Neighbours from Hell yet.
Oh, okay.
All I saw was a big giant Bose speaker as they loaded into
Grandpa.
Wait. Now, I think a lot of people would say, "Oh, no, I'm worried about this because that's going to be noisy." I personally am all about loud music. In fact, I'm the one who's going to get complaints.
Of course, because, I mean, you're not getting up in the morning, are you? I mean, you do a night show. So, if anything, you'd love to go home to a party.
And as we all know, I'm a DJ, Tom.
Oh, of course, you're a DJ.
I'm often spinning beats, tracks, tunes all night long. My page, you can book me. DJ Flamingo is my page on Facebook. Check me out. Give me a review. I do all kinds of events. DJ Flamingo. Thank you, Tom, for that chance to plug that. Just appreciate that. I've been very low on work recently.
Stop it.
It's getting tight. But... So I love the music, but I'm just wondering, I feel like that's the kind of thing that you would go, if you're a bit older or a bit more conservative or you've got kids, you'd be like, Neighbours from Hell, turn that speaker down.
Yeah.
So let's open it up on 133353. Have you actually had a neighbour from Hell? Literally. That would be pretty cool.
Olivia, you've had a neighbour from Hell?
Yes, I have. About 10 years ago, I lived next door to a nightmare of a man who one of the things he did was he wrote wolf in paint thinner on the bonnet of my car.
What? Wolf? Wolf?
Wolf, because he was not a dog lover.
Oh, wolf. Oh, so you had a dog that was barking, obviously, and he was getting a bit upset.
Well, see, the dog was only barking because he was making it bark.
What was he doing?
I had Well, at that point, I'd had CCTV footage installed because he was creating many dramas. So you could see him actually provoking the dog, but you can't submit CCTV footage to the police.
Can't you?
No, because they're like, it's illegal to film other people.
Oh, right.
Even on your own property, it's illegal to film other people.
So how was he provoking your dog into barking?
Oh, just like flashing things around, squeaking toys. And at that point, my pup was still just very much a puppy. And she's like,
Yeah, but was there a fence between you guys?
Yeah, a big collarbone fence. But he'd sort of just poke his head around it.
God, he does sound like a neighbour from hell, Olivia.
Oh, he was a nightmare. But yeah, he wrote wolf in paint thinner on the bonnet of my car. God.
Paint thinner? Well, does that mean it doesn't show up, like, clearly?
Or So where the word wolf was, it stripped the paint.
Oh,
because it thins the paint.
Yeah,
Ollie.
But how thin? Like if it's just a bit thin, maybe it was like a lighter colour.
Okay,
it doesn't matter.
The paint on the car, doesn't it?
It doesn't matter. I see. Well, that sucks, Olivia. And hopefully he actually has returned to hell.
Well, look, I feel like karma has got him quite well now.
Okay, good.
How?
Oh, I can't go into details, but I know that karma's got him, so...
Bit of paint thinner return to his kitchen, maybe.
133353. Did you have a neighbour from hell? It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Aerosmith, Ragdoll, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions, and you can check out the podcast as well if you want. Just listen back to the show, triplem.com.au, or the podcast app on your phone. You just search our names, which are Tom and Ollie.
Thank you. Almost forgot me. Neighbours from hell, Tom, is the question on 133353. If you have a neighbour or you have had one in the past, have you had a horrible neighbour, Tom? Your favourite sound effect, which is just weird.
I've absolutely had a neighbour from hell, Ollie. Remember the chick that used to live in the apartment building with me?
You did have
God.
Her apartment stank of cigarettes. When the door opened in the stairwell, it was just a haze of smoke.
Mate, there was one time where there was a knock on the door at about midday. I open it and there is my next door neighbour. I think she was having a few problems, I think with drugs, and she had her pants around her ankles going, can you please help me do my pants up, pull my pants up? And I had to be like, well, I'm not going to help you with that. I can't, but I can get someone to help you.
Yeah, the kind of lady who looked about 50 or 60, but easily could have been 30. And the word ghoul comes to mind. Do you know what I mean? Like ghoulish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like something out of a horror movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And then she nearly burnt the apartment down after leaving after falling asleep with a cigarette in her hand.
Oh,
so that was
God, she was
brilliant.
Good, buddy. But you had some good house parties with her, didn't you?
they were rages. They went on for days.
Yeah, no sleep there. So, Rick, you've had a neighbour from hell?
Tom and Molly, love the show.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, love Rick. You, mate.
All right. Yes, I can actually admit that I've got the neighbour from hell right at the moment.
Oh good. No. Well, shame them. What do they do?
Every single Saturday night.
Party.
Up until the wee hours.
Oh, no.
Rock and roll playing through the Bose stereo. Oh. I know what you're feeling, Bell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rick, I can sympathise with both sides. I mean, do you like a party or you just don't like that at all?
I don't mind at all, but the worst thing is it's my parents.
There it is, the pullback and reveal from Rick.
Well done, Rick. Have you tried doing stand-up, buddy? Get on out of the comedy lounge, the comedy club.
Yep, I moved in next door to my parents about 12 months ago, and every single Saturday night,
really?
It's just rock and roll, Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, you name it. It's blasting through the stereo.
Ever hear any Chubby Checker from them?
Bloody oath. Do you want me to recite some? I think I know them word for word.
Go for it.
No, come on.
You're the one that said it, mate.
Well, Rick, respect to your parents. They're clearly doing pretty well.
Yeah, they're in their late 60s, but they still rock on hard like a 20-year-old.
Well, make sure they hang around. If they're a Triple M fan themselves, the next 10 minutes or so, we're doing Were the 60s Boring? So I might want to hear from your parents.
Yeah, well, the 60s were boring for them. Right, no, it was all in the '50s.
And now it's all about the 2017s.
It's the Renaissance for your parents.
Yeah. Chris on 133353. Do you have a neighbour from hell?
Yes, I do. Yes.
What happened?
Well, he'd complain about barbecuing to the council, apparently. And this guy would complain about anything and everything to the council.
Whoa.
He's one of those type of people. He's got children, but his children don't visit him.
Oh,
he's not well liked even by his children.
Oh, says it all. Right. So you do barbecues in the backyard and he would start whinging?
Well, yeah, his backyard backs onto my backyard and subsequently the fruits of the barbecue goes over his side of the fence, naturally.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it. Wow. So he complains to the council. How un-Australian is that?
Very un-Australian.
There's nothing better than the smell of a snag on a barbie.
Well, we don't do just snags. We do very nice steaks and we marinate it in beer or marinate it in red wine and onions and mushrooms and absolutely beautiful.
Salivating.
Brilliant.
Chris, just for off the menu chat for a second, do you ever get in yelling matches with the guy or does he just...
He actually hanged his head over the fence one time and he's complaining about the music I was listening to. I just cranked up Triple M on a Saturday when I'm mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Oh, and footy. He says, that music's too loud. I said, it's 11:45, mate.
Get a bit of chubby checker on, I reckon.
Andrew, who's your neighbour from hell?
It's actually not my neighbour. It's my in-laws' neighbour.
Oh, no.
This guy has got to take the cake against every caller you've had tonight.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Whenever they had a party at their place, at my in-laws' place, whether it be a barbecue in the afternoon or someone's birthday or whatever, this guy would always complain and want to start some sort of argument or trouble, basically, on the day.
Oh, God. And, what is it with barbecues that make everyone so angry?
Might be the food. and then there was one day we were there for my sister-in-law's 21st birthday, and this guy's there carrying on because the music's on, and mind you, this is like in the afternoon, 4:35 o'clock, leading on into the evening.
Yeah.
And he started throwing things over the fence, and no one was really taking notice of what he was throwing, and it was all sorts of objects, and then one of the things landed on the table, and it was human feces.
Oh, Andrew!
This guy's psychotic, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I don't think psychotic is the word. And it was one of the guys jumped on the fence to see what the hell he was throwing over, and squatting on the grass, and throwing it over.
Wow!
Did you have to call the cops about that? Surely.
We just thought, you know what? He's not worth it to ruin the whole night. So it was basically the butt of the joke the whole night.
Did you throw it back?
I don't think anyone wanted to touch it.
Brilliant,
Andrew. Get a pepper scooper and flick it back over.
Absolutely brilliant. Look, we'll keep it coming in. 133353. Have you had a neighbour from hell? It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We've got questions.
Like the kid from Uncle Buck.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
I've got questions.
That's my job.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Going to get potentially controversial here, Tom, I suggest that I believe the 60s were boring. Now, I wasn't around in the 60s. I wasn't there. I know there were some big name artists that came out. Obviously, the Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
That's it. So, what I was doing some research.
Pink Floyd? When was he out?
He?
Yeah.
Pink Floyd is not one dude.
Yeah, it's a band. I know that.
Four dudes. I think they were probably early 70s.
How is Pink doing these
days? Yeah, Pink's good. He's, I think he's retired in
Mr.
LA.
Floyd?
So get involved. 133353 if you want to rebut my statement that the 60s were boring. I've got a song I want to play for you up next that I discovered whilst doing some research for a DJing gig.
Okay.
DJ Flamingo is my DJ name.
Stop with you.
You can book me.
Come on.
The song to me is from the 60s, and it just sums up how bloody boring they were.
If you've lived through the 60s, we want to know what it was like. Was it boring?
Was it good? I don't know.
133353, if you've lived through the 60s, 133353, we've got questions. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. The mighty, mighty Boss Stones from 1998. It's called The Impression That I Get. Tom and Ollie on Triple M after 8 o'clock. If you've ever forgotten your kid, we want to hear from you. And for Naughty After Nine, we're starting off with if you're a sugar daddy or mummy or if you've ever been with one.
Now, this might get controversial, Tom, but here's my suggestion to you. The 60s were boring. So you can get involved in 133353.
Were they called like the crazy sexy 60s?
The swinging 60s?
Swinging 60s, man.
Well, swinging 60s was a thing, but swinging is that cool?
Well, if you're sleeping with multiple people, yes.
They're referring to the dance.
No way. They are referring to multiple partners.
Well, either
way,
Tom, I mean, sure, you can have your thoughts about the 60s. The 70s was like a rock and roll, crazy, you know, hippie sort of vibe. But my contention comes from the research I did for a gig I was playing, or a 60th birthday party. I was told to play 50s.
Because you are a DJ.
I am. Yeah. I was told to play 50s, 60s, and 70s music. Now, what are you, at first thought?
Well, the DJ hadn't even been invented then, so it's a bit difficult to DJ, isn't it?
Are you serious? 50s? Like, what kind of music do you actually want to hear that's from the 50s? I did some research. There is diddly squat nothing. Even the 60s, I discovered, and this is what I'm saying is maybe contentious, the 60s were boring. Now, everyone thinks the Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Absolutely.
Here's
Woodstock was in 69,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Here's what I'm saying. From 65 and before, it was dull as.
Really?
Sure, Beatles, Stones came around in 1965, 66.
Yeah.
It got better. It got cool. Those guys revolutionized music.
Yeah.
Everything before.
People started taking weird substances that made them trip out.
Yeah, and then that changed the game, I'm sure. But there's one song I found, and it's by a guy called Chubby Checker, who I'd never heard of. But you might think the 60s is rock and roll.
Yeah.
Have a listen to this song by Chubby Checker. It's from 1962. This is the song and the lyrics of this song, and just the whole vibe that got me thinking, wait a minute, were the 60s actually this cool, glammed up, sexy, rock and roll kind of time, or was it a bit dull? Have a listen.
What's this track called?
To Chubby Checker. It's called Let's Twist Again, which is an important lyric. Let's Twist Again. Here it is.
Come on, everybody. Clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good.
Okay.
I'm going to sing my song. It won't take long. We're going to do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again. Like we did last summer. Yeah, let's twist again. Like we did last year.
Okay, so, I mean, I feel like that speaks for itself, but let me be clear on the lyrics of that. Let's twist again like we did last summer.
Come on, let's twist again like we did last year. Twist!
If you're having to recall a time a year ago where you had a dance and you had a good time with a girl, presumably, if you Chubby Checker, surely, I mean, these days, I'm going out every weekend. I'm dancing sometimes on a Friday and a Saturday.
Okay.
And Chubby Checker in 1962. And by the way, that song won Grammy Award of the Year for Best Contemporary Song. And Chubby is reminiscing on that time a year ago when he had a dance.
133353. Was it like this? Was it like Chubby Checker's twisting every weekend? What happened in the 60s?
Once a year. Let's twist again like we did last year. He's saying how good was last year.
All right, let's hear from Paul. Paul, what were the 60s actually like on 133353?
Well, what do you want to know about the 60s?
Paul, are you hearing me? You've heard me basically insult and desecrate the 60s. To me, it seems a bit dull. The first half particularly.
Yeah, the first half must have been pretty dull. That sounded pretty dull, Chubby Check. Come on, but...
Yeah.
Well, hey, serious. I'm talking late 60s.
Yep.
Hey, we were cruising around, we're going surfing and all that sort of stuff, you know. We didn't listen to Chubby Checker.
Mate, that song was the Grammy Award-winning song for Best One of the Year.
Grammy Schmammy. We didn't know what Grammy was in the 60s.
So how old were you?
There were no Grammys.
Well, how old were you when the Beatles and Stones rocked up around 66?
Well, I was 16 in 66.
Oh, what a great time to be coming of
age. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I came onto it, you know, Jimi Hendrix. Janis Joplin, all that late stuff. Neil Young.
All the 27 Club.
How could he go through Neil Young and not, you know? And I'm not allowed to talk about the funkadelic kind of stuff.
Because
that would be politically incorrect, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And funkadelic is fine. The other delics are more controversial.
Psychodelics.
So how would you care about... Yeah, well, what can I say? How would you compare the 60s to the 70s, Paul?
I reckon the 70s were a little more fun because we got on our skateboards, you know, and and then it all started happening in the mid 70s, late 70s when the punk era came in.
Oh, well, but, how about disco, Paul? You like disco?
No.
Oh, really?
Shove that crap.
No way.
There really
Paul.
Is two schools of thought,
No.
This, but there's a real negative vibe.
Riding down a hill on your skateboard with the old chalk wheels.
Yeah. Playing some punk
they
music.
They slid out, mate.
Oh, mate. The music
was good. You get away from the mainstream crap music like they play now every day.
Beatles, yeah, God.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't like the Beatles, mate. No, no.
We found a non-Beatles fan. We did it.
Absolutely brilliant. Look, what do you reckon about the 60s? 1-3-3-5-3.
Hopefully we sparked some controversy here, Tom.
Absolutely. Were the 60s boring? What were the 60s actually like? According to Chubby Checker, they weren't very good. 1-3-3-5-3.
Let's have a twist here, Tom.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Pump it up. Elvis Costello, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions on 1-3-3-5-3 and you guys answer them. That's who makes the show. You.
Definitely an older spin to this question, Tom. Were the 60s boring? It does rule out probably a majority of our listeners.
Yeah.
So you've got to be around in the 60s to answer it. I just discovered this song as I was doing some DJ prep. And this song stood out to me by Chubby Checker as a song that just didn't scream to me to be like a party vibe of the 60s. Here's the chorus. Come on, let's twist again. Something about harking back to really? A year ago, you know, that just feels like they weren't having enough fun. Why don't they go out partying all the time? Why couldn't you go like, let's twist again like last weekend?
Yeah, right.
Why let's twist again like last year? Come on. That must have been... I couldn't tell you how I partied last year.
It's a 1-3-3-5-3.
Were the 60s boring? Maybe, you know, maybe you've got an opinion on the 60s. It's quite powerful. Maybe you're a big fan or maybe you agree with me.
Steve, what do you reckon about the 60s?
Oh, mate, it was a good time. I was born in 1961, so I was pretty young. But I remember Mum playing Chubby Checker, and I remember all those old bands. I remember the old man waking me up in 1969 to watch Neil Armstrong step on the moon at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a great time.
Okay. Steve, I saw the video clip for this song, and it seemed like Chubby Checker was inventing a dance called the twist. Did you twist as a kid?
Mate, I had to with Mum. You know, she dragged me up and made me twist around the lounge room.
Yeah.
My sister used to sit there and laugh at me. It was great.
And you just sort of swivel your feet side to side, don't you?
Yeah, no, you got to get the hands going. Yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, the hands kind of go up at one stage, don't they? And then
You
go back down again, and then they go back up. Mate, I've done the twist a number of times.
It's much like the Wiggles these days with cold spaghetti, mashed banana. It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah, and a big red car, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, no, it's all very, very relevant.
So which decade was the best then, do you think, Steve?
I think late 70s when the Bee Gees came along we got into the Staying Alive and that type of thing.
Right,
that
we've
was
got,
the
a,
best
got a disco
time.
Fan
got
here,
got a
Steve.
Disco fan, guys. We've got a disco fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Many a tequila sunrise at the Wheeler's Hill Hotel, you know.
It's funny, Steve. We had I think it was Jack before, who was saying, like, disco, nah, no way. And I've heard my uncle say the same thing. There's a real divide, isn't there, between disco lovers and haters?
I think so. But if you were born, you know, in that era, you know, in the 70s, I was 15 to 19, disco was the go.
Okay.
It was brilliant, brilliant.
Woo! Like a bit of this. Here we go. Ooh, yeah. Diana Ross here, Tom. Let's, we'll hear from Alan, but I think it could be worth asking, disco, yay or nay, because there's definitely a contentious debate to be had here around disco. But Alan, what are your thoughts on the 60s and on disco?
Disco. Oh my God. I didn't know that was going to be your opening question. Oh, I was feeling all right
today.
Sorry,
Alan, that's a conversation, mate.
Well, Alan, give us your opening statement from the 60s.
Come on. Now, late 70s was punk and new wave, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
But as Paul McCartney said in 79-80, those punks in the leather, we were doing that in 60-61. Yeah. When they were in Hamburg, the Beatles were punks. They were drinking rum and coke and taking speed. And, you know, I reckon the 60s would have been really exciting. It was a really naive, you know, time. Everything was new and exciting.
Well, you were born in 61, though, Alan, so you were a child, really. You weren't doing speed and running.
That's okay. No, I've done my research. I've seen it.
Okay.
But so, I did live through the 70s. The 70s were pretty cool as well. So, but I did find the late 70s, early 80s, the new wave scene very, very exciting and invigorating. And the kids today, what have they got? Not much.
Well, they've got every kind of music that's out there now, which is kind of everything. But that's a different debate, Alan. What about? Do you want to? So you're obviously a punk fan. Does that make you? Does punk make you an anti-disco person? Do you think?
At the time, absolutely. At the time, totally.
It was a real divide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I must say the disco music of the mid to late 70s, when you hear it now, it makes today's, you know, funky dance music sound really, really bad. Or the other way around, the current music makes the disco of the mid to late 70s sound really cool. I actually know for a fact that the musicians, the drummer and the bass player, etc., actually played live in the studio on those disco tracks. So they were real musicians, not like today where it's all done by computers and where they enhance the vocals.
Alan, what's going on at your house behind you? What's going on behind there?
No, I've gone to find a quiet air and they're just yelling and shouting.
Kids, I'm talking to Tom and Lee about music on the radio.
Look, you can't take them anywhere.
No, even at home, you can't take them home. Let's keep it open. 1-triple-3-5-3. Punk v disco. Are you a passionate fan of either? And does that rule you out of liking the other? I'm personally all about the late 70s disco.
Oh, absolutely.
I love a bit of disco, but I know that if you like that stuff, often you hate the punk.
1-triple-3-5-3. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Misery, Blink 182, you're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We're going to be asking if you've forgotten your kid after 8 o'clock, which is going to be very interesting. Can't wait for those stories. Because we ask questions, and this show has been described as juvenile talkback.
We followed a bit of a thread here, Tom, and found ourselves debating the value of disco versus punk. After working out the 60s were kind of boring, and okay, the late 60s were good. But it has emerged that the late 70s, we're getting real deep into music here, which I love, because I love my tunes, I love my music. And I've noticed before that disco is this divisive thing, like as a music genre. In the late 70s, disco took over, but there was also a large, you know, rift of people who were totally against disco. And it seems like, from what I'm gathering, it was one or the other. You couldn't be into both. It kind of defined who you were.
Right, so you've kind of got tracks like the Bee Gees' Staying Alive.
That's obviously hardcore disco.
That's full-on disco. That one was from 1977. And then, of course, you've got tracks like Blitz Street Bop.
Give me a go, mate. Blitzkrieg Pop.
No,
Blitzkrieg Pop, mate. By the Ramones.
Yeah,
play the track.
Yeah, by the Ramones. This came out in 76.
Ramones.
The Ramones. Yeah, Ramones. I remember that from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Right. Now, Darren, what do you reckon about this one? Darren, is it divisive? Was it all or nothing when it came to disco versus punk?
Yeah, well, mate, well, disco was dead, mate, because, you know, it only lasted a couple of years when punk and rock is still going today. And, and you know, Gene Simmons said, he took the mickey out of disco by writing I Was Made By Loving You, and it only took him 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, disco, I feel like it's there's still out, like today, there's still music out there that does pay homage to disco.
Yeah, but you know, it's not, you know, where's their radio station?
Yeah.
You know, Triple M is just rock and punk. And,
I mean, guitars do form a large part of music. So you were around at this time, were you?
I was born in 78.
Okay, right. So you were born as disco was born.
Yeah, and like I said, I've lasted longer than it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite punk track or punk band?
Well, it'd have to be God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols.
I'll see if we can get some of that.
Yeah, rock and roll. Good, Darren. All right, let's go to William. William, okay. What are your thoughts on this one?
I won't worry about getting the track.
No.
Okay.
William, disco versus punk, was it an all-out war?
Absolutely it was. I think punk was born of too many hormones and not knowing what to do with the damn things.
Yeah.
But certainly in where I went to school in the mid-70s and things like that, there was very, very much divided upon what lines you and what you listened to.
So was it not cool, was it a bit lame to be a disco person?
Absolutely. The most hated group at our school were called the Disco Dogs.
The Disco Dogs?
They were the pretty girls and, well, they thought they were anyway. Time hasn't been that kind to them, though.
Oh, I'm betting, William, that the hot girls weren't going to your punk parties. They were going to the disco, weren't they?
Oh, look, they would creep up to have a look. You know, they'd always put their toes in the water, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I think punk has stood the test of time. If you look at the Stranglers, for example, they were only out here last year.
Yeah.
I put on a 3-hour show at the Metro, and they were just awesome. Devo did a the early Devo stuff was very, very punk orientated. The 1977 album Are We Not Men.
Yeah.
They did an Australian tour in 2012, which was just awesome.
Well, to counter that, I mean, Boney M are coming to tour.
Who?
Boney M. You know Boney M?
They've got that ridiculous bloke who sort of jiggles around the place with a...
They've got a song called Sunny. It goes, Sunny.
Don't have it, sorry.
Oh, you know.
It's not in the Triple M playlist.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Look, they're more like late 80s, 90s disco. But so
well,
William,
we don't miss them.
You don't. Well, look, I like it. I like disco. But I'm intrigued to hear that this is the divide still exists.
This is Devo, of course.
Yeah, that's the latter stuff.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
The early stuff, if you play a track called Mongoloid, for example, off their first album, it is really avant-garde. Have you seen the movie Casino?
Casino? I don't think I have.
It's a Martin Scorsese movie called Casino, and they actually, Devo do a fantastic version of the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction.
Oh, okay. I've got it here, actually. Here we go.
Yes.
We'll play a little bit for you.
We'll play it out.
Oh. Cool.
And listen to the bass behind there.
We'll play it out for a bit here, William. Thank you so much for your comments on Punk and Disco.
My pleasure.
Absolutely brilliant. Hey, after 8 o'clock, have you forgotten your kid?
Wow.
Have you forgotten your kid? Can't wait for it. Play us out a little bit of Devo Satisfaction. What do you reckon, Ollie?
Well, it's a nice little mix of rock and disco. It's not disco, really. But, I mean, I'm just trying to bridge the warring factions, you know?
Absolutely. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Tom reckons he's a good swimmer.
For my 11-year-old, he does that as a warm-up.
The other fancies himself as a DJ. But what they can do is ask questions.
Jeff, your latest fart in a film or movie title?
About 10 minutes ago, mate, it was The Fast and the Furious.
You know someone with more than 42 cats?
Yeah, my auntie.
198 Balinese cats.
It's been described as juvenile talkback.
What's your ridiculous debt?
He had a few loose scabs on top of his head, so he gave one of the boys to whip the scab off and eat it.
Oh.
It was a tasty skin biscuit that had to be eaten.
So sit back, but don't relax. This is Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
I feel like it might have been a mistake with disco in our opener there, Ollie, as we've just heard there from, it's pretty much unanimous that punk was better than disco
back
in the day.
There was a bit of both there. We had Village People with the disco and, of course, a bit of Kiss with the rock and roll punk stuff. So
okay,
we're catering
both
to
worlds.
Both markets with our brand new opener. And I like the reminder that you only swim 1K and that the chap who caught up and said, my kid swims that far as a warm-up. Thank you, sir.
We get naughty after 9 o'clock. Make sure you stick around for it. I want to know if you're asexual at 9:30, which is going to be very interesting. Hear from people who don't necessarily... Sex is an important part of their life.
Big time. And at 8:30 as well, can I mention, Tom, we're going deep with what's your biggest regret? That should be really interesting. 8:30, regrets time.
That's exciting. 1-3-3-5-3. We of course, ask questions. And I want to know on 1-3-3-5-3... Have you ever forgotten your kid? Have you ever rocked up to a place and went, oh my God, where's Timmy?
Or you've gotten home without the kid.
Oh God.
Or, it's a safe space, no judgment
no,
here.
Of course.
We welcome all answers
the
to this.
The judgment-free zone will come back into play. We'll go into the judgment-free zone and we'll find out if you have ever forgotten your kid. 1-3-3-5-3, give us a call. We want to hear from you. This is Just Ace, Grinspoon, Tom and Ollie. Triple M. Starting off the 8 o'clock hour, Ollie, with a double play on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. We've started off with Just Ace, Grinspoon, all 1:44 of that one. Then into brand new rock song number 3 by Stone Sour. We ask questions on 1-3-3-5-3, and you make this show. We're asking, Have you ever forgotten your kid? Have you left your kid behind? Of course, we heard that fantastic story a few months ago, Ollie, of a man that left his kid in a TAB.
Yeah, Larry forgot his kid in a TAB. He got home. His wife said, "Where's the kid? Where's our five-year-old?" He's like, "Oh, bugger, at the TAB still."
Absolutely brilliant. Cal, have you forgotten your kid?
Yeah, mate, unfortunately I have.
Oh, God.
Where?
Well, it was actually my kid's birthday. Took him to the shopping centre because he wanted an axolotl, like a Mexican walking fish.
Oh, yeah, cool. You feed those things hearts, don't you?
Yeah, we've gone into the fish store and I've walked out of the store with the fish, but not my kid.
What? You just had a brain fart or what?
Yeah, absolute brain fart. It was chaotic in there.
And what? Like, how long did it take for you to realise?
Well, we actually got back to the car, man, the fish.
And you're like, how good's this? Who's going to love it? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, Cal. Thank you very much. 133353, if you've forgotten your kid.
Michael, where'd you forget your kid?
Me?
Yes, Michael.
I had my wife overseas, had four kids, dropped them all off in the morning. Someone asked me at lunchtime how they were all going. I said, great. They asked me where they were. I could only remember where three of them were. It took me 4 hours to work out where the third kid was. When I got there, she was meant to be picked up at 1 o'clock to go to another party. Missed the party. The parents weren't happy that they were babysitting for 4 hours.
So,
but not bad. I found her. I remembered and I found her.
Was it just a case of too many kids and one brain?
Maybe no brain. Kids, no brain, I think.
What goes through your head when you've realised that you've left your kid somewhere?
Well, the answer was, wherever I've left her, I trust her. So it must be in a good spot.
You want to hope so, Michael.
Wasn't too worried.
And okay. When your wife said, where are the kids? You said, don't worry, I'll remember. But wherever they are, just trust it.
They're in good hands. They're in good hands.
I'm pretty
trust
sure.
They're in good hands.
Brilliant stuff. 133353. Jody, what do you reckon? Where'd you forget your kid, I should say?
I left my child at his karate lesson.
Oh, okay.
I dropped him off at his karate lesson, went to a friend's house, went and did some shopping. My husband rang me a little while after and said, oh, what are you doing? I said, I'm shopping with our daughter, Abby. He goes, what about Locke? This was an hour after karate had finished. And I was just like, shit, I forgot to get Locke.
Oh, does no one call you?
No, they didn't have my mobile number. It was around 8 years ago, so he was about 10 years of age. And when I raced back, they're just standing there staring at me. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And my family still bring it up. I still don't let that one down, leaving my child for an hour at karate.
In that moment, I mean, you could be the best parent in the world, but for that moment and for those people, you're just the worst parent, aren't you?
They just stared me down. And I'm like, shit, I'm sorry. Their $7 an hour really didn't cover it.
That's cheap babysitting though, Jody. You must have had some good shopping time.
You buy an ice cream for your son, or what do you do to say, it's okay, I'm here now?
No, the poor kid got nothing because I just shut myself and went, oh, my God, I've got to get him. And we just ran out of the shopping centre. So he didn't even get anything from me. But my daughter and I had shopped up a storm.
The unforgotten kids were having a great time.
I know. It's terrible.
133353. Have you forgotten your kid? If you have, we want to hear from you. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We've got questions. Hootie Gurus, like, wow, wipe out. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Hey, if you like the show, please let a mate know, and you can share it to them by heading to triplem.com.au. That's where you can find the full show and, of course, a separate podcast for Naughty After Nine. You can also check it out on the podcast app on your phone. You just search Tom and Ollie. We'll be talking your big regrets after 8:30. But right now, we want you to take us back to that moment that you forgot your kid, the guilt, the regret, the craziness that goes through your mind when you've gone, oh, shizer, I've left my kid somewhere.
Can't be fun as a parent, Tom. I have been forgotten as a kid.
Have you?
My mum always...
For 18 years?
Still
or? Boom! Two points.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Oh, God.
No, I was a kindergarten.
Hang on. Just wait. Just 2 seconds. Here we go.
When you've got to play a sound effect after your own joke, it's real, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Listen, mate, I was at kindergarten. Crash even, and I was forgotten by my mum. I was there for an hour. It was dark outside, 6 p.m., an hour after finishing time. I cried. So, you feel bad now?
Angela on 133353, you've forgotten your kid somewhere.
Yes, I did. I left him at the supermarket.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's the worst. As a kid, it's very scary. God.
Well, it is very scary, especially when you drive off and you've driven about 20 kilometres before somebody realises.
Oh, my God, Angela.
How's that happen, Angela?
Well, I have four kids, and his three sisters were in the car, and we pulled up at the supermarket, and I was buying a birthday card for my dad. And I just said to them, as you do, I know you're not supposed to, but I just said, look, stay in the car, I'm just going to go grab a card, and yep. I'll be back.
Yep.
So I quickly dashed out to the supermarket, grabbed a card. Unbeknownst to me, my two-year-old son has gone out of the car, and his three sisters, one was reading a book, and two were playing Game Boy, didn't even notice that he'd gone.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I didn't see him in the supermarket, and I've come out with the car, jumped in the car. Of course, I didn't look in the back, because I'm not expecting anyone to get out.
No.
And I've driven about 20 km, and one of his sisters has just gone, where's Sam? And I've gone, I don't know, what do you mean where's Sam? He's in the back. And I've turned around, and he's not in the back, and oh my God, I just about died.
Angela, once when I was left in the car at the supermarket, I took the handbrake off the car, and it started rolling backwards. Can you believe that?
God.
Oh my God. It's so insane. That. That's the whole reason.
Angela,
why.
Was your son still in the car park, or what was he doing, just sitting there crying?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. While I'm driving back, screaming at my other three daughters for not realising that their brother wasn't even in the car, or that he'd even got out of the car in the first place.
Their fault. It's their fault.
Exactly.
Brilliant stuff. It's definitely the reason why you just don't leave your kids.
You just
in the
don't
car.
Have kids. Oh, sorry. No, yeah, you don't leave them in the car. Absolutely. Greg, you've forgotten your kids somewhere?
Actually, it was a good mate of mine. I worked with him in a pub. Yeah. He was doing the late shift.
Yeah.
So he starts at 10 a.m. Yeah. Got quite a lot of children, Tongan background.
Yeah.
So he's rocked up to work. And about 2 a.m., sees his kid out the front of the pub. The older kids hadn't looked after the younger kid. Got him out of the car. Sees him at the front door.
Hang on, so you've missed it there, Greg. So what happened? Did the kid get in the car or something?
No, what had happened, my mate had gone to work.
Yeah.
Started the 10 p.m. shift.
Yeah.
And the kids had been out with the mother somewhere, and the older kids hadn't pulled the little brother out.
So the kid was in the car for the whole night shift?
The whole night shift.
Oh, God. Jesus. I mean, so, Greg, this is the whole reason why... You just need to be so careful with the kids in the car.
That's it.
Oh, God.
Do you have kids, Greg, yourself?
No kids for me.
No, okay. That's
handy. That's cool.
Can't forget them if you haven't got them.
Exactly right, Ollie. Linda on 133353. Where have you forgotten your kid?
Hi.
Oh, hi, Linda. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Brings back memories, that's for sure.
Oh,
I took
God.
My running late for work as per usual, dropped my son off at school. He was only about 6.
Yeah.
Raced off. Nothing was amiss. Got to work. About an hour later, I got a call from the school janitor saying that, can you please come and collect your son? It's a pupil-free day.
Oh.
And so I had to leave work. And there he was sitting in the staff room on the floor eating his lunch about 9:30 in the morning, looking very little and very forlorn and very alone.
Oh, my. And you just God. Look a bit silly, don't you, to all the parents, all the teachers?
Oh, well... No one said anything because there were no teachers there at that time.
Oh, I thought it was like,
nobody was there.
There was no one there. And you dumped him in an empty school.
It was a totally... And when I dropped him off, neither of us noticed that there was nobody around. But, okay, bye. Every day.
Pupil and teacher-free day. Just the janitor was there.
Well, I don't know where the teachers were. It could have been off-site, you know, PD or something.
Oh, God.
There was nobody there. The janitor called me, not a teacher.
Yeah, does your son in that moment say, Mum, you suck? Like, does he get into
you? Oh, I get to go to nannies now.
Bonus, hopefully.
Oh, absolutely brilliant stuff. Hey, up next, we're going to change tack quite dramatically.
Yeah,
here.
Let's get serious, Tom.
We're really... In this one, on 133353, we really want you to open up. We're going to be covering some pretty sensitive stuff for a lot of people. We're going to be asking you about your biggest regrets in life.
We're going to open some wounds, sure. Have a chance to reflect here, and you can give us a call when you're ready on 133353.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom and Ollie, they've got questions. We understand if you do too.
What the hell is that?
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
We love a laugh on this show, Tom, but we also love to go deep and to learn, to explore, to gain insight from people's experiences. And tonight, I want to ask, what's your biggest regret in life? And I guess I'm looking to people who've had some life experience, you know, particularly if you've you've lived a reasonably full life, and there's maybe one thing that you go, I wish I had done this or I hadn't done this. I think also, like, specifically, like, specific stuff is better than, like, oh, I wish I'd, you know, done more traveling. Like, that's kind of like whatever.
Specific moments and specific regretful moments. 133353. Do you have a regret? Let's appease you tonight. Let's talk it out.
It's redemption. It's atonement. Oh,
absolutely.
Other 10-letter words that are big. What is your biggest regret in life? Cast your mind back. Maybe it's nagged you for a long time. Please share it. It's a safe space. We will definitely be kind. 133353 is our number.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Hard to handle, Black Crowes. After 9 o'clock, we will get naughty here on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. We're going to be asking if you're a sugar mummy or a sugar daddy, or if you've been in such a situation. It is Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions.
What is your biggest regret in life? That is the question on 133353.
Ollie, that's heavy. I don't know whether I'm willing to share that on Triple M. Why should I share that with you?
Well, I think it's just about you know, looking back and exploring and giving advice to others listening, and maybe they can take something away from that lived experience. I mean, there are worse things that we've shared on this show, I think, than regrets. I mean, regrets are just something that maybe bother us and nag at us, but, you know, there's worse things out there.
Can I give you a regret? It might sound light on, but this was full on, like, when I was a kid.
Okay.
So when I was in primary school, there was a point where after school finished, I was allowed access to the school computer. This is early days of the internet as well. And when I was on the internet, we were looking up mythological creatures. We were doing, like, myths and stuff. It was like grade 3 or 4 or even 2, you know. I was quite young. I looked up mythological creatures, and on this website, it's like, click here for the naughty mythological creatures.
Okay.
And as like a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, I clicked on it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I looked at these images and I went, oh my God, what am I doing? I closed the window. I felt so regretful. I rushed home. And that night at home, my teacher visited my house because she lived at the end of our road.
Oh,
so she's visited our house and she told Mum and Dad that I'd looked up the naughty mythological creatures pictures. I felt so bad and so regretful.
Do you actually regret that now?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, I shouldn't have clicked on the mythological creatures.
But based on what structure of morality are you looking at?
Well, I knew that it was naughty, yet I did it anyway, you know?
Yeah, but you're a kid. Defined. I mean, isn't that normal? Kids, what kids do, they explore.
Thanks, man. You're
it's okay. Don't
better.
Regret that.
Thanks, buddy.
Look, 133353 is our number if you want to share your regret. Nick, what is your biggest regret?
I regret not going and seeing the silverback gorillas in Uganda.
Oh, what is that place, Nick?
Yeah, oh, it's up in the mountains in Uganda in the middle of Africa. Yeah. A couple of years ago, I was hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro, and I just didn't take an extra couple of days off work and go and see some of the most amazing creatures in the world.
Right. Is it pretty well famed, that area, for having this amazing experience with gorillas?
Yeah. I was looking up on the net, and there were guys that went out there and saw them, and they were like under a meter away from them.
Wow. Can't they kill
you? And these things are huge. Oh, yeah. Bloody oath.
And so it's just one of those things where you go, oh, it would have been an amazing experience, but didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it was like till the end of the tether with coming back to work, and I should have just called in sick from Africa and just kept on going.
Yeah, right. Well, tough one, Nick. I wish you'd gone. I wish you'd gone, even for your sake.
Yeah.
133353, we're asking for your biggest regrets tonight. It will take some courage to give us a call, but of course a safe space and a welcoming space here on Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Ashley, what is your biggest regret in life?
My regret was as a kid in 82, we were placed in a boys' home. Then thankfully my stepbrother and mother came and got us, took us to Queensland, and once we moved down back to Melbourne from there, I got in touch with my real father. We spent a bit of time, and I really wish that I had gotten to know him, go back and meet up with him before he passed away.
That must be so difficult, Ashley. I mean, because it wasn't a situation that you could control, was it?
No, it wasn't. As kids, we were sort of put aside to family violence and all that sort of stuff. And I just really never got the time to reconnect before he passed.
Right.
It was really hard on us, yeah.
So how much time did you have with him? How many, all up?
Well, 1 week in total between 16 and 17 years old, we went to the Hells Angels Baldwin Rock Concert. And that was really cool, just spent time with Dad. But, yeah, ever since then, things got, Mum got involved and I was told not to see him again. And I only learnt in the past couple of months that he passed away in the past 7 years.
Yeah, right. Well, Ashley, Ashley, I mean, it must be an amazingly tough time, especially having to grow up, not knowing who your real father is, then finding out, then having that taken away from you. That's a pretty heart-wrenching thing. But, I mean, we can't control these things sometimes. So you need to make sure that you learn from this experience and move past it. Of course, it must be difficult, though.
It is difficult not to really know my real father, but I'm good at stepfather, and I'm really trying to reconnect with him after a couple of incidents that's happened.
Yeah, great.
You've
got to focus on what you do have rather than what you don't have, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do, mate.
Well done, Ashley. Thanks for sharing. 133353 is still open. Your biggest regret in life certainly puts your regret, Tom, of mythological creatures on the net into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much. So many people go through some horrible things.
So what is your biggest regret in life is the question. We are exploring the deeper side of life here. Regrets on 133353.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. This is The Clash. I Fought the Law. Clash, I Fought the Law. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Naughty After 9, 15 minutes away at 9:30. Are you asexual? Does sex not really mean much to you in your life? We will want to hear from you. We ask questions on 133353.
Tonight's question is quite a heavier one. What is your biggest regret in life? We're asking you to cast your mind back and share with us and reflect on something that you go, you know what, I wish I could change that. Because I think that's an interesting, you know, idea. People always say, no regrets, Tom.
Yeah.
So if you can actually go, you know what, I do regret that, there's got to be something there to discuss and to learn from.
And it feels good to atone. It feels good to talk it out and
totally.
Discuss this.
We're not priests. This is not a confession box, but
atonement actually like a...
I don't know, Tom. I wouldn't rely on atonement. I just threw it out there as a word. Check out
good book and good film, though.
Yeah, sure, with Keira Knightley. Oh. I just wanted to share one. This is... Not hugely heavy, but I really liked a girl I used to work with when I was about 19, 20 years old. Yeah. And I liked her for even from the start of my time working at this place, for a year or two, I liked her, right? She was always a bit older. 2 years on from this the start of this liking, we kissed in a taxi on the way back to my house,
oh
right?
My God.
Nothing, quite level-headed. Wasn't like, oh, we were so drunk or anything. It was like a nice kiss. But the taxi got to my house after like a minute of kissing. I saw the taxi go past my house and I was like, oh, stop, it's my house, it's my house.
Oh.
And I got out and I wish I did not get out because I would have liked to spend a lot more time that girl. Luckily, I have a happy relationship with my girlfriend now.
Absolutely.
But, you know, one of those things where you go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that.
Ollie, atonement means the action of making amends for a wrong or injury, but it also remains in a religious context, reparation or expiation of sin.
Spot on. Excellent dictionary use there, Tom.
Thank you.
Dave, what is your biggest regret in life?
My regret is, mate, going back when I was in primary school, my mum would give me 40 cents so I could get my super duper at lunchtime, and then I'd have this guy for a whole year, every lunchtime, come looking for me and take my 40 cents off me. mate, every single time, and my regret is I never knocked him out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Dave, you wish you'd sort of toughened up a bit in the moment.
No, that's it, mate. That's great too. So now I'm way past that, yeah, I mean. But yeah, that's my regret.
I feel you, Dave. I mean, I feel like back in the day in high school and primary school, everyone has those moments of being pushed around a bit, but it's hard when you're a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, no, this didn't happen just once. This happened for a long time, and then all of a sudden it was gone, mate. Was I happy.
Dave, do you reckon if you would have told teachers about this happening, like what would it have been like back in the day if you said, hey, this kid's stealing my money every day?
Those days, I don't even know if I don't know. I think nothing would happen.
Yeah. We've come a fair way, haven't we, in terms of bullying?
Those
and stuff
days, you know, your dad could give you a clip in the back of the head or whatever and get away with it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
These days, if it's something, you know.
Well, Dave.
And of all things, his name was Leo too.
Dave, have you been
Leo? There you go.
Have you been stocking up on Super Dupers since then?
Yeah, mate. I still like them. Yeah.
Do you have kids, Dave?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, that ends my questioning, but thank you, Dave.
Not yet. No, thank you, guys.
Thanks for sharing. Hope you felt some atonement and definitely stuck up on those Zupa Dupas.
40 cents won't get you much, though, these days. Adrian, what's your biggest regret in life?
Probably not meeting my dad until I was about 30.
Yeah, right. So yours is similar to Ashley, who we heard from before. At what age did you meet your biological father?
I met my biological father at 30. It wasn't until I decided to have kids. But for pretty much before that, I was fed a lot of lies from my mum.
Oh, far out.
That he, you know, wasn't no good, didn't want to see you and stuff like that. And had finally met him and had 7 years with him before he died.
That's, I mean, 7 years is a good amount of time, but I suppose it's never enough, is it, Adrian?
It's not. And, like, probably out of those seven, the last three were him with being him in a nursing home with dementia.
Yeah, okay. Oh, far.
And so, Adrian, when you met him and got to know him, was he not the man that you had been led to believe he was?
No, completely the best man ever.
Wow.
So, obviously, just a personal rift between your mum and him.
Which she should probably get over. But
oh well.
How does that affect your relationship with your mother, Adrian?
Oh, it's had a big impact.
Yeah.
So I'm 30. What am I now? 39. So yeah, it's been 9 years, and a lot of that's played a massive impact on me and my mum.
Far out.
It is hard to sort of say, you know, to write her off, though. I mean, of course, she has her own story to tell, I'm sure, in that sense.
Yeah. Look, obviously, at 18 months old when he left, I wasn't around to answer for anything. Mm. But so for 30 odd years, you know, growing up and being fed all these stories, but then having the last 7 years of his life with me in it, it was pretty hard to get by. But at least I had the 7 years with him.
Adrian, how does that affect your relationship with your children? Does it make you cherish the time that you're having with your kids?
Well, he was around long enough to meet my three kids.
Awesome.
My youngest is three. My oldest is eight. But, he was old enough. He was able to remember all of them, all of their names and stuff before he died.
Oh, well, that's a feel-good story at the end there then.
Yeah,
To know that he passed away knowing his grandchildren, which is pretty special. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Adrian.
No worries, guys. Keep up the good work. Love the show.
You're brilliant.
Thanks, Adrian.
No, thanks, buddy. Thanks so much.
Good man.
Absolutely. Oh, brilliant man. I'm one of the best, I would say.
Yeah. Well, we just met him, but he's pretty good, Tom. Naughty After Nine, not far away. Yeah. Are you a sugar daddy, sugar mummy, or have you been in contact with a sugar person?
Right now, Kaleo, way down we go on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. We ask questions. Kaleo, way down we go. It's featured on the Logan soundtrack, that one, from this year. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. That's right, Producer Bell. It's pretty, I know my music knowledge.
Okay, the guy who said that, how's Pink Floyd going? That guy, Pink. Yeah, it's a band, mate.
Naughty After 9 minutes away, of course. Sugar daddies and sugar mummies in the spotlight.
I just want to alert you, Tom, briefly to some graphic content I've seen on Instagram.
Oh my God.
I posted it, just to be clear. So it was me. It's on our page, Tom and Ollie.
Oh yeah.
This happened today. I was doing some Mac computer work. I'm selling my old computer. And
you sound like a grandpa.
I'm pretty bad
at Mac computer work.
I'm pretty bad at computers, you know that.
Yeah.
And anyway, I had wiped my hard drive on the Mac to make it a clear, clean computer with nothing on it to sell. And I Googled, I wiped my hard drive. I'm going to type that in Google. Mm. And when you put in I wiped my, the suggestions come up as I wiped my hard drive. Yeah. Now what? On a Mac.
Okay.
I was like, that's actually what I want. But then the next suggestion is I wiped my bum and there was blood. So it's funny how you can be getting tech advice on Google and it suddenly jumps straight to graphic confronting advice that is actually quite useful.
We have both experienced this, haven't we, Ollie? I know you're comfortable with saying this because I'm just going to do
look,
it.
Look, about a month ago, I experienced this very phenomenon.
It's not fun.
It isn't fun.
Nah.
It's shocking. I'd rather be searching for hard drive advice than I would be for blood on the TP because it's not a fun moment.
At least you didn't have to have surgery and a couple of colonoscopies. I can all, that's all I can say.
No, a bit of Googling and mum was fixed up. Unfortunately, Tom had quite a grueling process in the medical system.
What was yours? Just a lunch of beetroot? Or
I don't know what mine was. I think I was just a bit dry down there.
Oh, God.
A bit of a dry...
Oh, we're not in naughty after nine yet, mate.
Ring of fire. So what can you do? But what you can do is go to Google because you'll get the answers you want.
Oh, my God.
Third search result.
Naughty after nine up next with sugar daddies or sugar mamas. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M.